Today's movie day again, okay? So I'm going to show you a few more video clips, but that's for later. We're busy, as Andre said, we're busy talking about relationships. I'm excited about what I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to talk about falling in love and staying in love. Okay, so staying in love part is the difficult part. Falling in love is easy. But, you know, I think what we observe and what we see in the world today is falling in love and falling out of love. Not staying in love, but falling in love and falling out of love. Falling in love, falling out of love. It's this crazy thing, and staying in love is not easy. And I'm going to explain to you this morning how to stay in love. Okay, but I think some of us sometimes get disillusioned and we get confused because the Bible says love never fails. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13, it says love never fails. But if we look at relationships and people falling in love and out of love, it seems if love is failing. Okay? It seems as if somewhere something is wrong, because even though the Bible says love doesn't fail, love never fails, what we observe is it is something is failing around us. And even Christian marriages end up in divorce. So sometimes we just get totally confused about, is our marriage going to survive? Okay, maybe some of you, those of you who are married, you know, those thoughts have gone through your mind. Is my marriage going to survive? You know, sometimes when Andre and I have a fight, yeah, we also fight, surprise, surprise. I ask him, are we going to make it? It's always, to me, it's the end of my world, you know, when we have a disagreement, it's the end of my world. It's a rapture. Are you ready? Okay, we're just gonna ignore that and go on. So, we're all still here. Okay, coming back to my message. I think sometimes it's hard for Christian people to, you know, to look at marriages and just to not really see people flourishing in their marriages. Eh? Even in Christian circles, even in the church, we find sometimes that, you know, this is not working. This is not working. And sometimes even people stay together, but they don't stay in love, but they stay together. Okay? So that's not even, you know, what we're looking for. That's not even what we want, eh? I mean, staying together is not what we want. It's all happening today, okay? It's all happening. So I think, you know, something in us wants to believe that it can work. Amen? Something in us, even if you went through a divorce, even if you had 10 boyfriends and they all messed with you and you're hurting and you're wounded and you think you hate men or you hate women, something in you wants to believe that you can fall in love again and that you can stay in love. It's something in us that wants to believe it. Even if you don't believe it anymore, you would want to believe it. Okay, so I'm gonna talk this morning. First of all, I'm just going to spend some time on falling in love. And then I'm going to tell you how to stay in love. Okay, and it's not like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 recipe. I'm gonna share principles with you. Okay, it's not going to be any quick fix. I'm going to share principles, and I'm really excited about that. So first of all, let's talk about falling in love, and this is where my movies come in, okay? I'm going to show you a few video clips from the movie Madagascar 2. How many of you have seen that? Okay. Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen it, for those of you who have seen it a long time ago, there's 4 zoo animals, okay? A lion, and a giraffe, and a hippo, and a zebra. They escaped from the zoo in New York. Okay, they ended up in Madagascar. That's the first movie. Now, the second movie starts with on a plane going back. Okay, so this is where we pick up the story. They're in the plane, and they have a conversation, the four of them. Okay, so, Alan, you can do the first two clips.
I think it'll seem much more fun the further away we get from
it. Like when you bit me on the butt?
I'm going to take that thing you're holding on to, and I'm going to use it on stage. It's all part of my little actor's salad bar of emotional tidbits.
Now, are the butts next to the croutons at the salad bar?
You don't need to be sarcastic,
Marty. Hey, guys, you know, I was thinking, when we get back, I might just sign up for the breeding program.
Breeding program?
I think we all reach a point in our lives when we want to meet somebody, you know, settle down, have a relationship.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, what? It's very mature.
Like, dating?
Yeah, dating.
Other guys?
What do you mean, other guys?
Darn it! What is holding up that beverage service? I'm gonna go check.
Oh, yeah, y'all keep talking. I'm gonna catch a few winks.
Skipper, look.
Analysis.
It looks like a small incandescent bulb, designed to indicate something out of the ordinary, like a malfunction.
I find it pretty and somewhat hypnotic.
That too, sir.
Right. Rico, manual.
Problemo solved.
Sir, we may be out of fuel.
What makes you think that?
We've lost engine one. And engine two is no longer on fire.
Buckle up, boys. Don't look dull.
This might get hairy.
Attention, this is your captain speaking. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we'll be landing immediately. The bad news is we're crash landing. When it comes to air travel, we know you have no choice whatsoever. But thanks again for choosing Air Penguin.
Raise your arms, Murray. It's more fun when you raise your arms like this. I can fly.
This could be it, Marty. I just want you to know you are truly a one in a million friend.
Thanks, buddy. You're the best ever.
I know you won't mind when I tell you.
Come on, tell me anything. Tell me what.
I broke your iPod.
What?
The buttons were so small. It made me mad.
Bahara.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to kill you.
It was an accident.
I love you, Gloria. I always have. You look like you love the beach or a good book or the beach.
My goodness, doll, you're shaking like a leaf. Rico, you've had your fun. Pull up. Gear down. Gently now, you just want to kiss the ground. Just a little peck. A smooch like you're kissing your sister. I said kiss it. Now just a little break. Just a touch. A little whisper.
I believe that's checkmate.
Emergency landing procedure. Flaps up. Deploy.
Oh, we're here. What in the world? What happened to the plane?
I'm okay.
What did y'all do to the plane?
Just crash. I'm okay. I'm alive.
See,
I'm okay.
I can't even sleep for a minute. And you know what? This is not JFK.
Kowalski.
Okay, you can stop it there. Okay. So as you all could see, the giraffe is secretly in love with a hippo. Okay, for years now, since ever. And what I first want to talk to you about is, we need to, as in our single season, we need to delight ourselves in the Lord and not become desperate, okay? That's quite a desperate pick. I love you, Gloria. I always have. It's so interesting for me often when we in our single stage, and I know sometimes it's going on for quite a while and we get frustrated and we think, God, Have you forgotten me? But I've realized, and I've spoken to a few people in the last while, the moment when you move from singleness to either being engaged or married, things change. And I want to take you to a scripture. We're going to watch more movie, okay? So don't you worry. I want to take you to scripture 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. It's in the New Living Translation. This is the portion where the Apostle Paul speaks about it's better not to get married, okay? And I know everybody always says, oh, you know, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, he didn't marry, so now he's trying to convince everybody else not to get married, okay? But let me explain to you what he meant. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his life doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. And in the same way, a woman who is no longer married, who has never been married, can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Does married people know what he's talking about? Okay, great. It all makes sense when you get married, okay? Things change. And I just realized, you know, when I think back about my single days, it was a very special season, especially in my relationship with the Lord, because He is your everything. He's your support. He's your encouragement. He's your, you know, pom-pom person jumping up and down for you. He is your, you know, your first point of contact in the morning when you wake up. But when you get married, when you wake up in the morning, there's this person, okay, next to you. When you go to bed in the evening, there's that person next to you. Normally, when you really just relax and spend time with God, it's just before you go to bed and in the morning when you wake up, because our days are busy. So all of a sudden, there's this person. I mean, I remember when we got married, it was really hard for me to prioritize between my husband and God. I had to learn a complete new way of managing my time around spending time with God and with my husband, because this thing is so true that a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. So you don't have all the time in the world anymore to just spend with God and just to do whatever you wanted to do when you were single. Not that being married makes you just being married and nothing else. It's not what I'm saying, but there's something that changes. And that is why the Apostle Paul said, it's better not to get married, because your interests will be divided. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are single, to actually enjoy this time. Okay, the moment you meet your spouse, it's going to change. Okay, you might miss the time. You might miss all the free time you had, especially in your relationship with God. Okay, so that's my first point. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. We should not become so desperate that we don't enjoy our single season. Okay, let's watch the second video clip just to give you a bit of background. The hippo, obviously, as you could hear in the first scene, Gloria, her name is Gloria, she's quite desperate, okay? She feels it's time now to date, and, you know, it's time now. And now she meets this other hippo, Motomoto. She meets him, and he likes her, okay? He likes her. He's this huge hippo, you're going to see now. And now they have a date. They have a date, but in the meantime, the poor giraffe, the other giraffes told him that he's dying because he's full of brown spots, and now he believes them. They told him he has 48 hours to live, and now he's like sitting in this hole. You're not going to see that part, but he's sitting in this hole feeling really sorry for himself because he's waiting to die. He's got 48 hours to live. And then those other two funny monkey things, and they're not monkeys, but I don't know what they are. They come, and they now psych him up, okay? What, you know, what do you still want to do? And he said, no, but I always wanted to tell Gloria how I feel about her. And they said to him, but you're a dying man anyway. Just go for it. Okay, so this is where we pick it up. Where Gloria and Mota, they have a date. And now Melman, he runs. They've just like, go, you can do it. He runs, and now he comes. He wants to tell Gloria how he feels about him, and now there's Mota, and they have a date. Okay, this is where we pick it up.
She loves me. She loves my eyes. She loves me. She loves my thighs. She loves my roundness. She loves that I'm chunky. She loves that I'm plumpy. She loves my heftiness. She loves my zestiness. She loves me restlessly. She loves me forever. She loves me. Cause she loves me.
Moto, before things get too serious, well, I was wondering if I were to, for example, stay here, I'd like to ask you...
Let your candid lips be the messages to my ear canal.
Well, I don't know. I have so many questions.
Well, I promise the answer will always be yes, unless no is required.
Okay, so what is it about me that you find so interesting?
You are the most plumpinest girl I've ever met.
Okay, other than that.
Let's see. Yeah, well, you know, you chunky.
Right.
My gosh, girl, you huge.
You said that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't have to talk no more.
Gloria!
Melman. Melman, I want you to meet Moto.
Ah, Moto. Yeah, nice to meet you. Well, I guess I...
It's okay, Melman. Apology accepted.
Oh, yeah, right, yes. That's why I... Good. Woo! Okay. That's it then.
You're good. We kind of busy here, man.
No, that's not it. Listen, Mototo. You better treat this lady like a queen. Because you, my friend, you found yourself the perfect woman. If I was ever so lucky to find the perfect woman, I would give her flowers every day. And not just any flowers, okay? Her favorites are orchids, white, and breakfast in bed. 6 loaves of wheat toast with butter on both sides, no crust, the way she likes it. I'd be her shoulder to cry on and her best friend. And I'd spend every day trying to think of how to make her laugh. She has the most amazing laugh. I mean, that's what I would do if I were you. But I'm not, so you do it.
What?
That was beautiful.
Anyways, where were we?
I'm huge.
I laugh every time for this. We've seen it, I don't know how many times, because Vian loves it. So we see it all the time. Okay, so the second thing I want to talk about, we're still focusing on falling in love. Okay, you're single, you fall in love, you want to fall in love. Second thing I want to talk about is be proactive, not passive. Like that giraffe, he was proactive, he was passive all his life, and then all of a sudden he gets this, you know, dare. You know, people daring him, saying, you can do it. And then he gets proactive, and this is a little bit more applicable to the guys. Okay, it's not so maybe so good for the girls to get too proactive. But I want to encourage the guys, and let me just explain to you what do I mean. It does not mean, being proactive does not mean that you're now going to share the dream you had last night about the angel coming to you and telling you that she's your wife. Okay, that's not being proactive. It's a little bit scary and maybe stupid to do that, just to go to the girl Sunday morning and say, I have to tell you about my dream. Okay, this is not what I'm talking about. Being proactive means just take her for coffee, man. Just do it. Just do something. Okay? And it's a risk. It's always a risk. I know it's always a risk. I mean, often, you know, it's not necessarily going to work out between the two of you, but you have to be proactive. You have to do something. So I want to encourage the guys, all the single guys, do something, okay? Just go for it. Just step out, take that risk, and just check it out, all right? But as I'm saying, it's what I mean is not things like, God told me that you are my wife. What do you think? Not that kind of proactive, okay? Just initiate. Just do something. Okay, third video clip, then I'm going to end off with a falling in love, is I need to give you background again. The water dried up. The water dried up, and now that funny monkey animal thing, King Juliet, he said, no, someone must be thrown into to the volcano, and then the gods are going to give the water back. Okay, now the giraffe is now so in love with his hippo that he says if he can be the one who gives her water, if he's, because he's going to live in any case for like 20 hours, you know, because there's already like some of the 48 hours are gone. So now he says, okay, he's be willing to, he will jump into the volcano because if that gives Gloria water, he's willing to do that, okay? And now he's there on top of the volcano, and then Gloria realizes what's happening. So this is the last video clip for the morning. So let's just watch this one.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Here we go.
What's all the hoopla about?
Joe?
Joe the witch doctor? We thought you were dead.
So did I. Then I realize I'm covered in brown spots.
So, Melman's not dying!
Melman's not dying!
Oh, please, excuse me! Melman! Move out, Keith! Don't do this! Julian, stop this! This is crazy!
Oh, suddenly throwing a giraffe into a volcano to make water is crazy!
Yes! Please, Melman! Stop!
Gloria?
You can't do this!
Why not?
You can't do this, Melman.
First of all, it hurts. Second of all, I've only got 18 hours to live anyway.
Melman, I gotta know. Did you really mean all those things you said about me?
Of course I did.
It's crazy.
It is?
It's crazy to think I had to go halfway around the world to find out that the perfect guy for me lived right next door.
Then I guess it's you and me, neighbor. You and me for the next 18 hours.
I'll take whatever you got.
Maurice, what just happened?
I believe the fat lady has some.
Hey, what's going on here?
Marty!
Okay, thanks, Leanne and Sean. Sorry about running up and down. Okay, third point I want to make. When you want to fall in love, when you're looking for that right person, is look for peace, not for perfection. I want to repeat that. Look for peace, not for perfection. You know what? Sometimes we're just so looking for that perfect person, that perfect, that absolute, absolute perfect one, that we don't follow the peace in our hearts. Okay? We, you know, so many people go overseas. It's so funny to me how many people tell, no, but they actually know each other from primary school. And then they met each other in the UK. Have you heard those stories? I mean, so many people just, they know each other since ever, but then they never realize that this can work. They never realize this can be a marriage or a life partner. And they had to meet each other somewhere else in a different environment, and then it all clicked, you know. And I think sometimes the right person can be right under your nose. But because we're so looking for perfection, we have our list of 20 things, Oh, okay, number 19. The rest is all there, but number 19, oh, no. Sorry, this can't work. Number 19 isn't text. We have a problem. Okay, so in the process, we don't follow the peace of God. We follow our own idea of what the perfect person is. I always think about Andre's sister. You know, she says, I always thought she's going to get married to this English guy, this very yuppie English guy who makes a lot of money. That was my perception. Today, she's married to a farmer in Malmesbury. And let me tell you, she's the most amazing farmer's wife. She is, you know, she's like connecting to all the people. She's baking and she's having projects and she's just this, she's an operator, okay? She's a real operator. And they have three children and she's just perfect on the farm. And I thought never in my whole life would I have imagined that she would get married to a farmer. She's the perfect farmer's wife. And I think sometimes we, you know, we have our own idea of what is perfect when it comes to marriage. And I just want to encourage you, we're gonna finish now with the falling in love part, but follow the peace of God. And obviously, there's many other things I can talk to you about. The peace of God is something really important. We need to know that. We need to walk with the Lord to know the peace of God. But sometimes we need to look away from what we think is the perfect person, and we need to follow the peace of God. Okay. So when it comes to staying in love, why do you think it's so easy to fall in love, but it's so difficult to stay in love? I want you to think about it. Why is it so easy to fall in love, but it's so difficult to stay in love? And let me tell you, I know you all have your answers to this. Let me give you my answer. Falling in love, you can put that on, Alan. Yeah, falling in love needs a pulse. Staying in love needs a plan. Okay, can you say that with me? Falling in love needs a pulse. Staying in love needs a plan. Okay, and this is where the staying in love part goes wrong, because we think once we fall in love, once we get married, obviously we're meant to be together, so it's all just going to be easy. So I just first of all want us to look at love, because I think we have a certain idea of what love is all about, and this is where the whole wrong perception starts about staying in love, because we think love is that whole thing when you experience when you fall in love. And if we look at the Bible's definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, I want to read it to you. It's something totally different, okay? And Hollywood doesn't give us a good picture, unfortunately, about love. It says love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. And it's not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So do you think this is possible without a plan? Anybody? This isn't possible without a plan. Love is not always what we think it is. It's patient and kind. It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It keeps no record of wrongs. This is what love is. And the only way in which we're going to stay in love after you said the I do, is to have a plan, to have a practical plan to make your marriage work. And that obviously includes God. I'm going to talk about that now. But we need to have a plan. And I'm just going to touch on a few things this morning, just to give you a few principles that can help you stay in love. Okay, because as I said in the beginning, deep down inside of us, we want to believe that it's possible. And we want to believe it. Even though maybe you don't believe it at the moment, you actually want to believe that it's possible. So first of all, we need to grow closer to God. As an individual, we need to grow closer to the Lord. It's It's the best investment. I want you to listen carefully now. The best investment you can make in your relationship is to grow closer to God. Okay? Because these things that you know, in the Bible about love, that love is patient, love is kind, we don't have it in us. Okay? You can be the most kind and the most gentle person, let me tell you, when you get married, you know, things comes out that you think, oh my word, is that me? Where does that come from? Okay? We don't have it in us to stay in love for the rest of our lives. But the good news is that God can put it in us. Okay? God is love. God is love. And if we spend time with love, it will rub off on us. Okay? So the best investment you can make is to grow closer to God. And you all know that picture of a triangle, like that old, I know it's like a very old kind of cliche thing to say, but the closer you grow to God, if God is on top and the two people at the bottom, the closer you're going to grow to God, the closer you're going to grow to each other. And I know you've probably heard it millions of times, but that is the truth. Okay, and we all know these things. I'm probably going to say nothing new to you this morning, but it's the application of these things that is going to make the difference. It's going to make you stay in love. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And this is where God comes into the picture. Okay, this is where God comes into the picture. And what Andre and I have often experienced is when we pray together, when we worship together, when we have communion together, the same thing that comes up that would have resulted in an argument or a fight or a disagreement can come, and then we handle it in a complete different way. So I want to encourage you, for those who are married, worship together. If you can't play an instrument, just put on a CD and just sit in God's presence, worship Him together, pray together, and have communion. Even we neglect it often. You know, every now and again we need to say to ourselves, when last did we have communion as a couple? You invite, the reason why we need to do that is we invite the creator of love into our relationship. Okay, even if you're dating, you can already start doing that. Worshipping together, praying together, and have communion together. It's powerful. It's powerful, and we can really testify it makes a huge difference in our relationship. We have peace instead of that, you know, that thing between us. And sometimes, I mean, obviously, you all know what I'm talking about, I suppose. The most fights or disagreements are over nothing, hey? Over stupid things. It's just, you can't figure it out. How on earth did we get here? How on earth did we get to a point where we don't want to talk to each other? Or I don't want to touch you? How do you get to that point? And you think it's ridiculous. I have no idea how we got here. And sometimes when you struggle then to connect again, it works for us just to take hands and to pray together. Even if you don't want to do it, you just do it, okay? Because then you invite the creator of love to come and fix things in your heart. All right, so please make an effort to do that. And this is a very practical thing, but schedule that in your diary. I'm going to pray with my wife Sunday evening at 7. I'm going to worship together with my wife Tuesday evening at 6. We're going to have communion once a week or once a month at least. Put it in your diary, okay, because it's not just going to happen. All right. Second one I want to talk about is prioritize. And this is also a very practical thing. And I want to ask you this morning, for those of you who are married, how important is your marriage to you? How important is it to you to stay in love? How important is it to you to grow old together? Okay, because we invest time and effort into the things that are important to us. Lots of time and lots of effort into things, and lots of money even, into things that are important to us. So I wanna challenge you this morning. How many books have you read about marriage after your wedding day? Okay? How many courses or seminars or anything around where people teach you a bit about relationships, how many of that did you attend after your wedding day? Okay? Or do you just, you know, just have faith, this is going to work and we're going to make it work ourselves and we know enough, Sonika, really. You know, like my mom, every time she hears that we're doing a relationship series or we're doing a marriage preparation course, she said, my child, like last year, they were visiting and she said, you know what, I want to enroll both your dad and myself for those courses that you do. And so my dad, you know, we were eating. He said, yeah, then I can tell Andre a few things, my dad said. And so my mom said to him, you know what, that is exactly your problem. You think you know, but you know nothing. You know, and sometimes, you know, we just need to humble ourselves and say, I don't know everything. Okay. It's the most special thing, gift, that God has given you, your marriage. And I can tell you many stories. Like Andre's dad, his parents got divorced when him and his sister were in primary school. His dad is an extremely talented man. Okay, I can keep you busy for quite a while about all his achievements in sport and academics. He was at the age of 30 in a very, very important position at work. Shortly after that, his parents got divorced. He's in that same position still today at the age of 60. He was extremely successful, but the divorce stole basically everything from him. He's remarried today to a lovely woman. We love her. So I'm so thankful that God gave that back to him. But he lost everything. You know, he lost even his that drive in him, which is maybe good. I don't know. But I just see that people, they don't know what they have until they lose it. And you can speak to many people. And there is life after divorce. Let me tell you, we have many beautiful stories about that as well. But there's consequences, there's heartache, there's wounds, there's pain. It's hard to deal with the pain of divorce. It's really hard. And for those of you who know what I'm talking about, you will know that there was a girl who worked with me at PricewaterhouseCoopers in Stellenbosch. She was divorced, she got remarried, she had two beautiful boys in her second marriage, happily married. She said to me, she didn't know God. She said to me, Sonika, if I knew the pain that it would cause in my life, I would have done everything. I would have gone for counseling, I would have done every course, I would have done everything. I would have fought harder for my marriage because it hurt, it still hurts. She's happily married. She has beautiful children. It still hurts. Okay, so I wanna challenge you this morning. Prioritize. Prioritize, prioritize. Okay, like Wednesday evening. Okay? I don't want you to say, oh, sex life is great. We don't need to listen to Mark Gongor. What does he know in any case? It's surprising how many people just, yeah, it's pride in a sense that keeps you away from learning. It's you're not teachable. So I want to encourage you to join us on Wednesday. Okay, it's going to be powerful, the thing that he teaches. My third point I want to talk about is don't compare. We're talking about staying in love, all right? Are you all still with me? Don't compare, but celebrate. Let me explain. Maybe you're really frustrated with your unromantic husband. So your main frustration is he's okay otherwise, but he's really, really unromantic in your opinion. Now you come to church and you see another man opening the car door for his wife. Okay? And you think, oh, I so want that. I so want my husband to open the card off me. Can't he just, you know, can't he just be a little bit more romantic? And now you start dwelling on that. Now you see another guy, you hear one of the girls tell you, no, but her husband brought her flowers this weekend. You know, now she's raving about it, and you think, when last? You know, it's all now thoughts building up in your mind. When last did my husband bring me flowers? Now you start thinking, I wish my husband can be more like John, who opens the card for his wife. I wish my husband can bring me flowers like Peter, you know. I just wish he can, you know. Now what you do, you take all the amazing good qualities from other men that you just observe from a distance. Let me tell you, you don't know what he's like at home. But you see, he opens the car door, he brings flowers, or you just hear that he brings flowers. Maybe it was the once in a year flowers or something. But now you start picking all these good qualities and you make up this fake guy. It could be otherwise or the other way as well. Okay, you make up this fake woman that does not exist. There's nobody like that. There's nobody without faults, but you take... You forget all your husband's good qualities. You only focus on his weaknesses, and now you start picking from other men the good qualities that they have in you. You make up this person, and you wish and you dream that your husband can be like that. I'm sure some of you would maybe know what I'm talking about. And the moment you start doing that, even if it's just, I wish my husband will open the car door for me like that man for his wife. The moment you start doing that, it's the discontent and the bitterness and all those things start to, you know, it just develops in your heart. So what you need to do, we need to pray about the things that bothers us, and we need to jump up and down. Yeah, you know, if your husband makes the bed, you want him to make the bed every day. It's your deal. It's the deal between the two of you. But now he makes it maybe 3 times a week. Maybe he does it once a week. Maybe he never does it. He never makes the bed. My dad never makes a bed. He believes he's going to sleep in it again tonight. So what's the use? So if you believe like that, never brush your teeth, never shower, okay? Because you're going to get dirty again. Just for in case there's a man who thinks like that. But now your husband makes the bed. Okay, now you have a choice as a lady, as a woman. Say, yeah, it's about time. It's really about time. Do you know how many times I did ask you to do that? Thanks for nothing. You know, or whatever attitude. Or you can say, wow, you made the bed. Thanks. That's all you need to say, nothing more. What we need to learn, especially as women, okay, especially as women, but as men as well, Instead of comparing and focusing on the weaknesses, because we all have weaknesses, we need to pray about the things that bothers us, and we need to jump up and down and make a special celebration about anything he or she did right, which we appreciate, because that is going to motivate the person to do it again, not the "it's about time" comments. Okay, so Don't focus on comparing, but focus on celebrating the person. Number 4, be quick to forgive. Andre spent a whole sermon last week. It was powerful. So for those of you who weren't here, please download that, about forgiveness and wounds in our heart and just dealing with that. Okay, we need to be able to put things behind us. If we want to stay in love, you have to deal with something properly and put it behind you. Okay, otherwise, things build up, and even previous relationships and things from previous marriages, even, it can build up and it can influence your relationship. So it's not your wife's fault or your husband's fault. It's just something small they did that triggered something really bad that happened 10 years ago. And there's still a wound. Okay, Andre dealt with that extensively last week, which was really powerful. So please, if you're interested in that, you can download that. 1 Corinthians 13 says, I've read it to you, that portion, but it says, love keeps no record of being wronged. And that is a very powerful thing. There's no record of anything that somebody or your husband or wife did to you that was wrong to you. There's no record in your heart. Okay, and it's difficult for all of us. It's difficult, especially if it was really hurting you. Okay. And then number five, we're going to speak about that more on Wednesday for the married people. As singles, you can, if you want to think about your dinner now or just like switch off, you're welcome. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But don't, as a married couple, don't neglect your physical intimacy. Okay? It's weird. Before you're married, you can't keep your hands off each other. And you, it's misused and abused often outside of marriage. Inside of marriage, let me tell you a secret, for those of you who don't know that. It's often neglected inside of marriage. And God designed sex specifically, okay, for two people. It's part of the whole thing of staying in love, living happily ever after. It's kind of a glue that makes you stick together. Okay, don't get all your imaginations running wild now. But it's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift within marriage. Okay? And I just want to say two things because we're gonna talk about that on Wednesday. But I want to encourage the girls. If your marriage is important to you, I want to encourage you to make an effort to bless your husband in this area. Okay, because it's more important, sex is more important to your husband than you can ever imagine. Okay, and it doesn't always make sense to the women, but that's how God designed men. It's more important to you, to the man, than you can ever imagine. So you have to make a deliberate effort, you have to work at it, and you have to honor and bless him in this area. Okay, I'm talking to the married girls. All right? Very, very important. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday. I have specific things that I want to talk to the women about. This can make your marriage, it can in a sense make or break your relationship, okay? If you respect your husband in that area. Now to the men. Okay, let's just add something here for the guys. Don't neglect the romance around sex. Okay? There's a good book. Well, many books actually, but the good book that we have, it says, Sex Starts in the Kitchen. All right? For those of you who didn't know that, that is true for a woman. And it's not that we're trying to be difficult, okay? Men, listen to me now. It's not that we're trying to be difficult. It's just really difficult for us to be in the mood if we feel unappreciated. Okay, if we feel you don't appreciate us and we work like a slave in the house and it's really difficult for us. We're not trying to actually be difficult. It's just everything in us just says, I can't do it. Okay, because you feel unappreciated, you feel used. Okay, if you don't get appreciation as a woman, outside of your bedroom, it's very hard. Okay. And as I say, we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. I just wanted to, for those of you who can't make it, I wanted to share one or two things because this is critical. This is critical to your relationship. Okay. And you can have an awesome marriage, but sex is a very, very big part of that awesomeness. It's not the only part. It's not going to make you divorce necessarily, but it's a big part to make it awesome. Okay, so I just want to encourage you, go for it. For those of you married, go for it. Okay. And I'm going to end off with this, but I just want to encourage you, all of us sit with disillusions and we have negative ideas about marriage. Okay, because of our parents, because of other people's example, what other people say. All I can say to you is with God as the center of your marriage, it must work because God is love. Okay, you have to believe it. You have to believe. For those of you who are single and you don't have a role model, you just see, you know, people breaking up and people divorce. I just encourage you, it can work and it will work. Christian marriages have failed. It's not because of God who's not in it. Okay, let me say it again. It's not because God isn't faithful, or that God isn't love, or that love is failing, or that there's something inherently wrong with marriage. It's people, two Christian people, who thought it will just work without a plan. We need to have a plan. Okay, it's the same in your relationship with God. You can get saved. You can get born again. You can give your life to Him. If you're not going to grow in that relationship, if you're not going to work on it, then you're going to die spiritually. Okay, it's the exact same thing. We need to work, and we need to work on it. And the good news is that we're not doing it in our own strength. I can't love Andre until we like 60, 70, 80, 100, 100. In my own strength, I can't do it. It's impossible. I don't have it in me. Okay, I don't have it in me. He doesn't have it in him to love me. And sometimes we put that yoke on our own shoulders. I must love my husband. I must be submissive to my husband. I must respect my husband. I must do all those things. And you struggle. You think, I can't do it, Lord. I'm messing up all the time. But that is exactly where you just need to say, okay, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. But you can come and do it in me. Okay, we need to surrender. We need to say, God, I can't make my marriage work. I can't even make my dating relationship work, Lord. Something is wrong with me, God. No, there's nothing wrong with you. All that you need to do, you need to make God the center of your relationship. You need to say, God, I need help. You need to humble yourself. And then God comes and He gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. So if you're going to think you can make it on your own, you can make it work, you can fix this yourself, God is going to resist you, actually, and that is where the problem comes in. God can't help you because He's resisting you. This is what the Bible says. But the moment you say, God, I need help, I can't make it work, then God will come and He will give you grace. Amen? Will you please stand with me? I just want to pray for all the marriages here this morning. So, and also for the right life partners, for those of you still looking, because it will come. It will come, the right time and the right person. And marriage is awesome, okay? So you can all look forward to that. And if you had bad experiences in marriage, or maybe your marriage isn't now at the moment where you want it to be, God can change anything. He can change any heart, okay? We just need to open our hearts to the Lord. So if we can just close our eyes, please, I just want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for all these beautiful people. Thank you, God, that you know every tear, every frustration, Lord, every fear, every anxiety, Lord, in their hearts about their relationships, especially marriage, God, because it can so much hurt the core of our beings. And I just want to ask this morning, God, for healing. I pray first of all, God, just for the married people. I pray for healing, Lord. I pray for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Lord, for our humility to say, God, we can't do it on our own. And I just want to ask, I want everybody's eyes to be closed, okay? Is there any married couple you just want to acknowledge? You just want to say to God, maybe it's just the wife, maybe it's just the husband. You just want to say, God, we need you in our marriage. And by raising your hand, you just say, God, I humble myself. This is so hard for me. But I humble myself this morning and say, God, please, I humble myself. Come and give me grace. Is there anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Amen. Thank you so much. God, I honor you for these precious people, Lord. And I thank you that you will give them grace, Lord. You will give them grace because they humble themselves and say, God, we need help. I just pray, Lord, for glorious marriages. I pray, God, for that first spark that we all had when we fell in love. I pray for that spark to return, Lord. I pray for beautiful testimonies of how you restored and how you make us just feel young and in love again. in the name of Jesus. Bless them in Jesus' name, God. And I pray for all the people who are looking for a partner. God, this is you. Place the desire in them. And I just bind any guilt and condemnation, Lord, about that desire. And I pray, Lord, for the right person at the right time. I just release your perfect plan and your perfect will into all the single people's lives. In the name of Jesus, I release the right timing. I release the right person. Lord, I release destiny in the name of Jesus. I release destiny and purpose and two people wanting to fulfill a specific plan and calling. I pray, God, that you'll bring them together, that you'll knit them together, that you'll knit their hearts together in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for as just few mistakes as possible. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that people will not get unnecessary hurt, Lord, that they will not get unnecessary dumped, and there will not be unnecessary breakups. But even, Lord, in that, I thank you that your grace is sufficient to heal, to make whole, and to make something glorious, to bring beauty out of ashes. And I just feel in my heart a word for some people this morning that God says he wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. You feel, if you look at your marriage or your previous marriage or your current marriage or your relationships, you feel it's ash. It's like an ash heap, and it's just, there's nothing left. And I feel in my heart that God says he wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to replace that ashes with beauty. He wants to blow your mind. He wants to give you something far beyond that you can ever imagine. All you need to do is to trust in him, to surrender, to say, God, I need you. I worship you. Let's just wait upon the Lord just for a couple of seconds. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, okay? Just allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and touch you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. I just pray, God, that your presence will flow. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll come and flood this building, Lord. Every person's heart. I pray that you will come and touch people, Lord, right where they are. You'll come and touch them, Lord Jesus. Just bring your peace, bring hope. God, I pray that you'll restore hope this morning. I come against the spirit of despair in Jesus' name, and I release your hope in people's hearts. We lose your hope in people's hearts, Lord. Where people think it cannot work, I cannot be happily married. We just crush that lie in the name of Jesus. And God, we just release hope and faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, even for people who have marriages that they think is okay. I pray, God, that you'll take us from glory to glory in Jesus' name, that you'll blow our minds in the name of Jesus.
I just saw a picture when Sonica was praying for beautiful ashes. I just saw this picture of like a bird that soars up from the ground, and it soars up, and it just spoke to me of freedom that God is bringing in your life. And you're coming to that place of freedom now, and of just soaring and going above whatever happened or whatever relationships have kept you down and kept you on the ground and kept you from being free. And we just speak that freedom over everyone, God, who was bound. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord.
I just want to encourage you. God's speciality is to take a mess and make it something beautiful. That's what he does. Okay, so wherever you might find yourself, you can really hold on to that God is able to turn it for the better.